very short message. Can you hear me in the back? All good. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 7 to 9. 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 10.
And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Considering these things, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get the word? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. I want to title the message, a very provocative title, but making friends with frustration. Making friends with frustration. Look at somebody and say that. Make friends with frustration. I do not know how many of you go through your life running up against the same limitations, the same problems, again and again and again. The same limitations, the same problems. You run into it again and again and again, and that kind of frustrates you. It kind of discourages you, depresses you. You know, actually, you put two people in the same event, or in the same room, or the same experience, and they will come out with different experiences. Two people in the same event come out with two different experiences. In marriage, the husband and the wife, the same event. It might be just raining outside. One guy, the guy might feel very romantic. The woman might feel suicidal. The same event, but two responses. What makes one person relax might be stressful for another person. Sometimes a woman can relax when she speaks, and a guy can relax when he's quiet. You go for a workout. I don't know how many of you go for a workout. Two people working out at the same gym. One person feels he's really worked out only if he's sweated. And I go for a workout, and whenever I go for a workout, I make sure that I have 3 fans pointed towards me. I stand under the AC and I tell my trainer, make sure that all the exercise that you give me to do, I don't sweat. But some person goes into a gym, he has to sweat. But I tell my trainer, I don't have a problem. You're making me work very hard. I don't want to sweat. But tomorrow morning, I need my muscles to feel sore. Then I know I've pumped some real weights, and okay, there's going to be little muscles coming up. I should have worn a half sleeve. Same event. But different experiences. And life is largely about the way you interpret the different sensations that you feel. Here Paul is writing in this chapter, the great apostle of God, and he's saying, see, I feel a sense of weakness in me. I feel weak. I feel the sensation of weakness. And many a person would leave ministry, leave the Lord and walk away from church. But Paul says, I feel weak. And when I'm weak, I know I'm strong. Are you with me? The same weakness many others might have gone through. But one person feels strong because he's dependent on Jesus. Another person feels miserable. Paul was a faithful man of God. Look at somebody and say, Paul was a faithful man of God. But he was also frustrated. You know, there was this author of a book, I forget his name. He had five kids. So somebody asked him, he would always make jokes about his family life. So somebody asked him, how does it feel to have these many kids? So he said, imagine you are drowning and somebody throws you another baby. That's how I feel. He used to joke about it. So many a person who read his book thought he was anti-family, because he was always complaining about having to take the kids out on Saturday for some birthday party, or you know, to buy this, you know, on Monday for the school book, to buy a book or something to do or the other, where he's got no more free time of his own. He feels kind of stuck. It's pretty frustrating. And then he had to explain, and he said, I'm not anti-family. If I didn't like my children and my family, I would have walked away. I wouldn't have complained. But because I'm faithful, I'm getting frustrated. Are you with me? Many a time, frustration points to the fact that you're faithful or committed. When you go through your weakness, when you go through challenges in life, even as a believer of Jesus Christ, born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you go through different crises or trials, and you get frustrated, it's a sign that you are committed. Because you could have run away, walked away from God, walked away from church, walked away from ministry. God alone knows in the 20 years of ministry of God using me in His work, how many times I've felt like running away, saying, Lord, I'm not the person. Are you with me this evening? Now you look at second letter of Corinthians. Paul wrote two letters to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth had different issues. There were issue of sin. The church in Corinth had divisions in their church. There are doctrinal issues. As a matter of fact, there was somebody in the church whom Paul had actually handed over to Satan. And many a time in the church, first letter and second letter of Corinthians, you know, Bible scholars believe Paul would get some information about the church in Corinth, and he would write to them, and then he would get a word, he would get a, you know, a good word from about the church in Corinth, and then he would write something nice about them. There was good and there was bad. And it was pretty frustrating for Paul. Some of the issues that he had was strained relationships. He loved the church. You can go home and read through the book of Corinthians, especially the second letter of Corinthians. Would you do that? Just 12, 13 chapters. You will find there were strained relationships. He loved the church. He loved the people. He was willing to give his life for the church. And there were people who were, you know, questioning his apostleship, questioning whether he was sent from God, really challenging him, criticizing his ministry, people whom he was trying to reach out to and help. Now, some people I've learned in ministry, in ministry, I've learned that some people can be a real pain in the posterior. It's a more biblical way of putting it. He had a problem where there was a problem of limited resources. The church in Jerusalem was going through a tough time financially, and he wanted to send an offering to the church in Jerusalem. And the church in Corinth were not even giving their offerings and tithes. And so he had to write to them in 2 Corinthians 8 and say, listen, I pray this grace might be upon you that I've seen working in the Macedonian churches. Even in their poverty, they give liberally to God's work. So he was getting kind of frustrated in the area of finances, resources, because he wanted to help out the church in Jerusalem, but people were just not opening up the pockets. It almost looked like as if, like in the morning service I said, you know, they had fevi stick in their fingers. The fingers were too tight. They couldn't open it up and give to the Lord. He was frustrated. The third reason, because he was facing resistance. There were trials. He was going through tribulations. Some of the people in the church were stonewalling him. Stonewalling, you heard that statement? Stonewalling, which means giving the silent treatment. So this man, Paul, he was facing real issues, recurring issues, and embarrassing issues. Wouldn't you feel frustrated? Huh? Are you with me this evening? So some of the challenges in the first 11 chapters of the Bible, in 2 Corinthians 1 to 11, he emphasized. As a matter of fact, he began to say in verses 23 to 27 of 2 Corinthians 11, 55 things. He said, I've been in shipwrecks 3 times. I've been stoned. I've been in prisons. I've been in dangers from Christian brothers. I've been in dangers from Gentiles. I've been in dangers from robbers. I've been in danger in travels. He began to give each of his problem a name. But when it came to the 12th chapter, the scripture that we read, it was too embarrassing, where he used a metaphor. He said a thorn. Open your mouth and say a thorn. A thorn. I have a thorn in the flesh. Every other problem, it was very clear, specific. But this is a little embarrassing. We don't know what the thorn is. Bible scholars over years have come up with different suggestions. Some said it is an eye problem. He had an eye problem. Some people said it is persecution. Some people said it must have been his posture. 4'6" Paul was kind of, you know, a posture problem where he was kind of embarrassed. For all we know, it could even be false teeth. That's a joke. Now what I'm saying is, he looked at this particular issue that he was facing and he said, it's a thorn. It's not a large one, a thorn. A little thing, but it's causing a lot of pain. I wonder what is frustrating you that's causing a lot of pain in your heart. Whether it is emotionally, physically, what's causing you that stress? What is causing you that frustration? What is that that is continuously kind of poking you? I mean, needling you. It could even be a nagging wife. It could be a critical husband. It could be cranky children. It could be abusive relationship. What? I do not know. But something. How many of you want to know what Paul's thorn is? God gave me a revelation about that. How many of you want to know what Paul's thorn was? Would you lift your hands? Well, so I was asking the Lord, Lord, what was this thorn of Paul? And the Lord very clearly said, son, if I wanted you to know it, I would have written it there. How many of you think that is wisdom? If God wanted you to know it, he would have written it there. God would have made Paul to write it down. So in other words, what God was trying to tell you is, listen, in your life, in your walk with God, you're going to face some situation where it is embarrassing or challenging or deep issues. You know, when we were in the Catholic charismatic youth groups, you know, we used to have prayer times. During the prayer meeting time, we used to have prayer times, and we would be sitting in circle and worshiping the Lord and singing songs and all that. And there would be a time, it's either called the, you know, it's called the either the time to give a praise report or a prayer request towards the end of the prayer meeting. Towards the end of the prayer meeting, the leader of the prayer group would say, anybody's got a praise report, you can say it. Anybody's got a prayer request, you can say it. So somebody's, you know, I remember when I was growing up, even in our family prayer, you know, in the initial years, I mean, growing up, you know, my mother used to make us pray. We used to sit together and pray, and she was in the charismatic movement, and she used to make us say spontaneous prayers. And isn't it amazing that when I was a little kid, there are so many things to thank the Lord for. It would actually rattle my big brother, because I, as a small boy, I would sit next to my mom, and she would say, pray, and I would say, I would ask her in the ears, can I say thank you, Jesus, for the fan? She said, yes. So I would say, thank you, Jesus, for the fan. And my brother wants to, you know, listen to music or watch the TV or whatever at that time, and he's sitting there to finish the prayer meeting, I mean, the family prayer. And then I would ask after him, can I thank the Lord for the light? And Amachi, being sweet, would say, okay. And I would say, thank you, Jesus, for the light in our house. And everybody would say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And I used to find every small, thank you, Lord, for the school bus that I went in school to. Thank you for the protection. Thank you for the nice teacher. Thank you that I didn't get too many red marks in my report card this time. Thank you. I mean, I would be thanking, you know, it would be praise reports for me most of the time as a young boy. But have you realized your prayer life changes as you grow up? Because suddenly you feel more responsible. And over a period of time, instead of thanking the Lord, it's more like prayer requests, you know, needs, challenges, and who, what else? I mean, there are a lot of things to pray for. So what I'm trying to say is, in the prayer group, you used to have time for praise reports and prayer requests. And so some people would either give a praise report or a prayer request, and there would be during the prayer request time, most of the time, if you're going through an embarrassing situation, maybe it is an addiction, maybe it's a sin problem. So how that person would pray is, I want you all to pray for an unspoken need of mine. Please pray for an unspoken need of mine, you know. So everybody would say, Lord, we pray for this brother, we pray for this sister. And over years, when I started having, you know, being a leader of a prayer group, I began to realize most of them, when they used to come to me for, you know, help, I used to know it's a sin issue. It is a weaknesses issue. It's a embarrassing issue. They messed up somewhere. They've been challenged somewhere, and they don't want to speak about it. They say, Lord, please do unspoken need. I wonder how many of you have an unspoken need this evening that is frustrating you. Don't raise your hand. Just smile at me. You guys are looking good. Unspoken need. So what did Paul do with this thorn? Look at the scripture. Can I have my brother come? Now this brother here is my thorn. Imagine he is the thorn. And I've got this real struggle with this thorn that I'm facing in my life. It is kind of, you know, yeah. It's actually, you know, hitting me. The thorn is challenging for me. So I am miserable about it. I want to serve Jesus. I want to follow Him. I want to be ready for heaven. But this is upsetting me. So I go to the Lord. Are you with me? I go to the Lord and I am praying, Lord, see, Lord Jesus, I can do so much for you if you would just get rid of this thorn. I can be so much a better person if I didn't have this thorn in my life. Oh God, help me, please. I need to have, I need to be serving you. I just need to be free. I don't want this thorn in my life. Please help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Still there. Still there. Still there. This thorn is still there. It's upsetting. It's frustrating. This problem is not gone. So again, I go pray. I fast. I seek the face of the Lord. I'm confessing scriptures. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm saying, Lord, I signed up to serve you. I don't know what more I can do. I want to live for you, die for you. Here I am, Jesus. Please help me. Please get rid of this thorn. Just get this out of my life. I don't want this. I want to make progress in my life. I don't want a block in my life. I want to spiritually grow. I want to be like Billy Graham and D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon and the great servants of God over the years. I want to be like them. I want to be like Stephen. Please, Lord, help me. Still there. This is refusing to go. It's getting upsetting. I need a deliverance. I need a healing, Lord. There is nothing impossible with you. Give me greater faith to get rid of this. I'm going to speak to this mountain in the name of Jesus. A mountain, I command you. You mountain of thorn. Go away from my life. Please go. Oh gosh, I'm so upset. Please. Anybody ever gone through that? The scripture says he prayed 3 times. The greater frustrations in life are unspoken. When people go through this, you have this really constipated look on your face, frustrated, upset. And somebody asks you, so how are you doing today? And if you're kind of good and spiritual and you know how to answer back, and you say, please just leave me alone. I have a lot right now. I usually say, I have a lot on my plate now, please. And they'll say, what is it? Can we help you? I can't break it down for you. Please, just, it's upsetting. It is challenging. I'm just, okay. How many people, I don't know how many people look at a pulpit, see a pastor preaching, maybe look at me and say, oh, it looks like there's a very spiritual guy out there. It's far from the truth. Paul had a thorn, and I have a thorn. I get frustrated pretty easily. Once, you know, I mean, how many of you knew that, you know, I'll put it in a different way. Are you with me still? There was this pastor who was walking through the street, and he saw a lot of children fighting, making a lot of noise. So he walked up to those children and said, "What are you fighting about?" So the one of the kids said, "You see that nice little puppy there? We saw it on the street. So every one of us wants to have that puppy. So we are having a competition. He who can say the biggest lies gets to have the puppy. He who can be the biggest liar gets the puppy." So the pastor said, "My God, you guys shouldn't be playing this game. Because at your age, I've never ever said a lie." And the kid said, "You can have the puppy. You can have the puppy." I mean, if you had a scale of your frustration, if you were going to rate your frustration ratings, let me tell you, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, I mean, little things can frustrate me like that. I would be easily going up to 10 on every little thing. That's how weak I am. I mean, I can get frustrated over my video game. My little cricket on my video game. I miss a ball, I get bold. That's enough to spoil my mood and get me pretty upset. That's how spiritual I am. And I'm sure that you have your thorn. There are things that frustrate you, that bug you, that torment you. Look at what Paul said. He said, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 and 8. We are breaking up that scripture too.
And least...
The 12th chapter, not 12th chapter, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12.
And least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me.
See, I want you to underline that word, given. Given. Not something that you wanted. It's given to you. It's given to you. You didn't ask for it. It's just given to you. When you read that chapter, 14 years ago, Paul knows of someone who was taken up into the third heavens, who has great spiritual revelations. But he says, "I can't speak about it." Can you imagine that God takes him to that height of revelation and he can't speak about it? He's got a thorn that's given to him and he can't speak about it. So how do you handle this? How do you handle this thorn? You have to see it as a gift. It's given unto me. The more you try to fight it, the more frustrated you are. The more you hit it, the more you go back. See it as a friend. Are you with me? See it as a friend and realize this thorn is keeping me grounded. It's keeping me humble. Paul didn't say this from God. I'm not saying it's from God. As a matter of fact, Paul said it's a messenger from Satan. How do I put it across? It's a messenger from Satan, but it's a message from God. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now look at that word thorn. When you read through 2 Corinthians, you will find temptation, hardship, opposition, rejection, need, thorn. It can frustrate you. I'm not saying it comes from God. It's a messenger from the devil. But there is a learning in that. The message is from God. When I'm strong by myself, got no problems, I can get very conceited, proud. Are you with me? And I can only look at myself. But here Paul said, I went to the Lord. In other words, I went straight to the boss. I didn't go to the secretary. I went straight to the boss. I went straight to Jesus. I realized without him, I cannot go forward. How many of you understood what I said? It's teaching me in life there are temptations. You pray, 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 hope every temptation will go away, nothing will come. It'll come. Hardships, no problems come. It'll come. I'm not saying it's from God. It'll come. Rejections, opposition, need will come for everyone. I'm not prophesying that over you. That's a part of life. But when that comes, I don't need to keep pushing it, get frustrated by looking at it. I need to learn. I need to focus. And I need to say, I can go before Jesus. I mean, did you get it? Did you get it? I'm gonna lean on Jesus. The only way to greatness is through frustration. What happens with frustration mostly? You look at your life, when you get frustrated, this is the cycle. You feel frustrated. Then you fight frustration. Then you fail. And then you flee. I repeat again. Frustration. You feel frustration in your life. It looks like your life is going nowhere. You fight it. You fail. Then you flee. Whether it be in job, in the workplace, you feel frustrated. You begin to fight with your boss or with somebody there. Then you fail, you quit, you flee. Whether it be in marriage, you feel frustrated. It looks like you are the one who's got to make all the sacrifices. The other person doesn't understand. You fight it. Then you feel miserable, you fail. Then you want an exit. But it is for people who learn to deal with it by going to Jesus, who experience the grace of God. Are you with me? As long as you're doing good in life, your focus is on you. But when a thorn is there, your focus becomes God. I wonder how many of you would have ever come to a church a second time if the first time you came, God met all your needs. Very honestly, the first time you came, God, wow, you're Superman, you're Supergirl. Everything is perfect. Will you come to church again? No problems financially, no problems emotionally, no challenges in life. Everything is perfect. It looks like you're in heaven. Who wants to go to heaven now? You've got heaven on earth. If you handle it, the frustration, by going to Jesus, God will reveal your future for you. Most of the time we go to the Lord and we tell him what he has to do. Paul realized he's going to the Lord and telling him, Lord, this is what you do. Please, please, I don't want this thorn. Please get it out of my life. I don't want this. But Paul learned the secret. Listen, I don't need to tell the Lord what I want. Let me go before him and receive from him his grace. Open your mouth and say, his grace is sufficient for me. His supernatural strength is sufficient for me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then this thorn is a friend. Are you with me? Every time you look at your weakness, every time you look at your challenge, you look at a thorn, hallelujah, you realize God's grace has made you more than a conqueror. God's grace will give you victory. Hallelujah. That the devil cannot defeat you. God's grace is upon your life. God will preserve you and take you through. Even when there is a thorn around in your life, God will progress you. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You look into the New Testament, why you have to go to Jesus? You remember Jesus, 3 times he prayed in the garden, Father, if possible, please take this cup away from me. I don't want to drink of this cup. Father, please take this cup away from me. 3rd time he said, yet not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says he sweated blood. The moment the soldiers caught him, they placed a bunch of, not one thorn, a bunch of thorns onto his head. And they began to hit that head with a stick. And those thorns began to pierce through his scalp. And the blood for our redemption began to flow out. That was the price he paid. And that is where grace comes to you. When you lean on Jesus, when a thorn comes in your life, remember Jesus handled all the thorns together for you. And his blood is sufficient to cleanse you, redeem you, set you free, protect you, deliver you, and keep you. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give glory to the name of Jesus. So Paul is saying, when I'm weak, I look to the Lord, I focus, and then I know I'm strong. Are you with me? Amen. You lean on Jesus. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Let's pray together. Look at your thorn. Look at Jesus, your Savior. Maybe it might be temptation, hardship, a weakness. Maybe it is just opposition. You have everybody against you, or rejection. Maybe it is some need that you've been asking the Lord for to meet and the answer has not come. Would you focus yourself onto Jesus and say, Lord, you give grace to the humble. I don't want to be proud and independent. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Help me. I cannot overcome by my strength. I cannot walk this Christian life by my ability. I need your grace. I'm leaning on you. I'm looking to you. You are my helper. You are my Savior. Jesus, you are my Lord. The struggles that I have is so deep. is so challenging, is so embarrassing, things that I cannot even share with anybody, but I know I can lay it at your feet, knowing that you understand, that you care, that you love, and that you've accepted me. I lay my life at your feet, Jesus. On a daily basis, I want to learn to handle my life by leaning on you and receiving of your grace. On a daily basis. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Every morning, Lord, I need to be at your presence, seeking your grace. Would you lay your frustrations at the feet of the Lord, no matter what it is? Would you lay it at the feet of Jesus? Thank you.